Actually, I was anointed by God this morning. I was waiting for bus, and this stove touched my head, flying this way. And there was this lady who was standing by and saw that, and she was laughing hysterically. And she was on the way to church too. And she said to me, knowing that I'm going to church too, tell your pastor about it. It's a wonderful Easter, and happy Easter to all of you. And thank you again for the invitation. And why don't we just turn to each other and say a happy Easter to one another. May God be glorified through our praises to Christ for his redemptive work on the cross and his resurrection. So praise the Lord. As we all know, Easter and what it represents, the resurrection of Christ is the pinnacle of our Christianity and its faith. And when we say it's a pinnacle, we're not just talking about resurrection as a miracle. It's far more than miracle. It is an act of God. And it's an act of God where it touches the whole humanity. Why do I say this? Throughout the entire history of humanity, the humanity, we were never free of sin, and we were never able to change because of that. The story of Old Testament is just that, where people are not changing. They're changing temporarily, and they obey God and nourish blessing time to time, but it's a cycle that replicates what sin does in our life. And during time in my ministry, past ministry, whatever the reason may be, many people came to me saying, I'm done with this sin. I'm done with that sin. Or whatever it may be. And naive I was, I believe what they said. And I'm sure what they meant is true then, but the sinful nature of human does not allow us to stay that way. And it's for me too. Same goes for me too. And there's this Korean saying, I'm sure you all understand Korean. 사람이 죽으면, 사람이 변하면 죽을 때가 된다. I'm sure you understood. What it's saying is, when a person changes, death is near. Meaning that the change in any human is hard. Without any extraordinary circumstances, sometimes it's not possible. However, when we see the history of early church, the people closest to Christ have changed so drastically through witnessing the resurrection that their change is enough to prove the resurrection of Christ. Of course, many historical documents, including the scripture, confirms the resurrection. But it is an act of these disciples and believers of Christ's change toward the incident about death of Christ, ministry of Christ, and most of all, their life's mission completely changed. So today, I want to dissect these changes, and perhaps we can be able to share these traits in our lives like the believers in the early church who witnessed resurrection. So first, we will look at what aspect of resurrection made them change, and second, how they changed. So what aspect of resurrection made the disciples and followers of Christ change? First, that it was a perfect execution of planned cross and resurrection. That it was not just a random or unfortunate event. As we see, the disciples were in extreme fear after the death of Christ. Their plan from the beginning was not about the kingdom of heaven, but the physical kingdom here on earth. They perceived Jesus as the king of their physical world. When Jesus cured people of sickness, when Jesus fed people, when people were drawn to his messages, you know, disciples' plan of making Jesus the king of Israel was working, the physical king here on earth. And they kept on asking Jesus to go to Jerusalem, which was the biggest political arena of that time. Through the miracles that disciples have seen, they wanted him to draw a crowd in their favor so that they can be the political force that will achieve their agendas. As you know, more people, more power. And through the accumulation of people following Christ, they wanted change. It's not bad. A change for a better world. And they were not interested in the spiritual aspect of the kingdom that Jesus was preaching about. They wanted to be in the right and left seat of Christ, where they can also exercise their power, perhaps using Christ. So we see a triumphant entry into Jerusalem. But at the turn of events, Christ was captured, and Jesus Christ dies. It's just not that he died, but it's the way he died too. He died so suddenly on the cross, where the worst of sinners die. It wasn't what they were expecting at all. The Romans and religious leader carefully planned the execution of Christ, and they witnessed the death of Christ. And we see that the trembling fear in disciples and believers. When Christ was taken away, it says in Matthew 26:56, says, all the disciples deserted him and fled. And Peter, who was the leader of the disciples, asked by a kid if he was not the follower of Christ. And we know the story. He denied Christ three times. We'll talk about the fear later on, a little more. And the passage we read today, where two Maria went to the tomb and found no body of Christ, but the angel of the Lord said to them, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified, but he is not here. He is risen. And listen to this, just as he said. I think most important aspect of that we can miss here is that he is risen just as he said. Even Luke 24:6 said, he is not here, he is risen. And it says, remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over the hands of sinners, be crucified on the third day, be raised again. Then they remembered his word. So the scripture is saying that death and resurrection of Jesus was not just a random act of planning by Romans and Jewish religious readers, but the plan of God, that it was foretold. The disciple, while told, but never realized until now that this was foretold, a meticulous plan of God through Jesus Christ. They were in fear because they didn't know it was the plan of God. And it is throughout the scripture in the Old Testament and New. We'll take a look at just a few examples from the Bible. Psalm 16:10 says, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. This was cited by Peter later on in the Acts. Isaiah 53:10-11 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. This passage speaks of the suffering and death of Messiah, but also suggests that he will be resurrected. In Hosea 6:2, it says, after 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. I mean, just listening to a few of the examples, can this be more obvious? In Jonah 1:17, it says, now Lord has prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. In Matthew 12:40, Jesus tells this story as a foreshadowing of his death and resurrection. So when these followers of Christ in his empty tomb, now faces to remember what Christ in the scripture has said, and now they know that this was an act of God, which was planned from the very beginning, and that this cross was a redemptive work of Christ, so that people who are in sin and cannot change through their action may have a new life that is changed through this death and resurrection of Christ. And we call this providence, where its meaning comes from Latin providentia, which means the foresight or forethought. And this scholar named J.J. Lim says that this providence is not only about God's foreknowledge, as the etymology of the term may suggest. Rather, he says, it speaks of God seeing to all things planned beforehand, or God bringing to pass all that he has decreed would happen in creation. And this providence, on the other hand, answers to God's eternal decree, by which he did unchangeably foreordain whatsoever come to pass in time, citing Westminster Larger Catechism 12. Westminster Confession of Faith 28 says, his resurrection was testified by many infallible proof, including 500 witnesses, and his resurrection fulfilled OT prophecies, it says. His resurrection is necessary not only that he may be the captain of our salvation, but that he may fulfill his mediatorial office. Christ himself is the author of his own resurrection. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. I mean, you know, we are often in fear of the future because of this. You know, that our plan might not work as we planned. And I am, can you guess how old I am? Shout out a number, lower the better. 29. 29, thank you, that's exactly right. You are off by one or, I'm 44, 43, 44, I don't remember. And to young people sitting here today, I went through everything in life. Just kidding. What I can tell you is that nothing really good or bad according to my plan. I don't know if you know this testing called, a personality testing called MBTI. And we do a lot of that in Korea. And my MBTI is ENTJ, which meticulously plan ahead. And I do that. First thing I do in the morning is I take out my checklist, to-do list for the day, and I write down, before having coffee, write down, eat, drink coffee. That's how meticulous I am. And my wife is completely the opposite. I don't want to say no plan, but she is free from those planning or anything. Something comes up and she will do it. And she'll stress for a day or two, but she will do it and she will forget about it. And, you know, sometimes I'm like, you know, if you just plan ahead, it'll be okay. But at the same time, I envy her so much for not having a plan and being at peace all the time instead of worrying about how my plans will execute. And often it doesn't. And to the young people here, I just want to say it's okay. It really is. You know, God's providence has us covered. And this providence is not just guiding us through our life, but it's the precision of planning of resurrection that includes all of our life, from the day of creation to consummation. That this plan is executing even if our life according to his power and will, and it's not going according to our will. So I want to tell you that don't be swayed by little things. It says in the Proverbs 16:9, in their hearts human plans their course, but Lord establishes their steps. And for all of us, how often does our plan work in our life? You know, as I told you a couple weeks back, you know, I was trying to get to this teaching position that I have worked toward all my life. You know, I prayed in the chapel of the university 20 years ago, asking God that may God bring me back as a professor. And just last year, the chance of lifetime came. And I say chance of lifetime because the professor don't retire easily, and timing has to be perfect, right? And timing was perfect. One of the Christian history professor retired after 35 years. And in first time in 35 years, the job actually opened up. Right after I got my PhD. I knew I was destined for that position. And Pastor Sam called me the day before the assignment, and we did Zoom, and he prayed for me too. And I was so confident that I even bought a plane ticket to Korea. And the next day, I got the message saying, no. Why are you laughing? Well, was I devastated? Of course. Are you kidding me? But that devastation did not last long. I had a good meal with my wife. And my wife said, they don't deserve you. And we watched something funny on Netflix. And my feelings of devastation went away. And looking at my life, I can honestly say I don't know what I'm doing or even what I want. But God always led me according to His will, according to His plan, which is the best way in any circumstance. And I know that. What an achievement in 44 years, right? Pretty good. I would say so. And that this resurrection was a meticulously planned and scheduled to execute at the cross, which no one was expecting. That this plan was thought out even before the creation throughout the Old Testament. And we are able to see the glimpse of this plan exactly taking place. And the resurrection made the disciples and the followers realize that. And us too today. And this leads us into the second point, where this faith, or perhaps the realization of God's plan, has turned people's fear into peace. Let's go back to today's passage. It is all about fear. There was a violent earthquake, and the angel of the Lord came down, and guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like a dead man. They were so afraid that they were like dead. An angel said to woman, do not be afraid. And when disciples meet the resurrected Jesus, the first message to them is, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And witnessing this resurrected Christ, and that is that it was planned from the beginning of the world, you see from here and on a different look from the disciples and followers. They become believers instead of followers. And you see no fear in them. This change from fear to faith, fear to peace, achieving, is where we witness how the resurrection has turned these people drastically. This news of resurrection was heard by disciples who were in hiding. It says, Peter, however, got up, leaving the fear behind. Got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. And these disciples who scattered after Jesus was captured, through the news of resurrection, and when they met the resurrected Jesus, the fear started to disappear. And they had a peace to remember what Jesus said. Not just what Jesus said, but obey the word of God. Through Jesus, they knew that all these were planned, and they are nothing that wasn't planned. There was nothing that were planned. Now they are in peace instead of fear, and this peace leads them to wherever God asked them to be, whether it was place or people or place of persecution or death, they obeyed in peace. You know, like I said, people don't change easily. One of my past co-worker in ministry, he got ordained. And after ordination, he said to me, he quit drinking. I was like, okay. I mean, and he said that it didn't feel right. Regardless of how you see drinking, I was like, okay, that's fine. And this year he contacted me knowing that I'm in England. He asked me to bring a bottle of Scottish whiskey. Only thing that really changed was his taste from wine to whiskey. And people don't change. Apostle Paul, when he meets the resurrected Christ, turned 360 degrees in his life, giving his life to the Lord without hesitation or fear in Rome. Peter, who denied Jesus three times, according to the tradition of the church written by Apostolic Father, Origen says, while he was supposed to be persecuted through the cross, just as Jesus, he did not feel worthy to be crucified in the same manner as Jesus and asked them to put him on the cross upside down. And this account is also supported by Eusebius and Tertullian. Thomas, who wouldn't believe in the other people, other disciples saying about the resurrection, said, you know, something like this, unless I stick my finger in his hole, that he wouldn't believe. And the tradition says that he went to India and died either by spear or by being stoned. Andrew was a crucified X-shaped cross in Greece. James, son of Zebedee, was beheaded in Jerusalem. Philip was martyred in Turkey by being crucified upside down. Bartholomew was martyred in Armenia. Matthew was stabbed to death in Ethiopia. James, son of Alphaeus, was martyred in Jerusalem by being stoned to death. Thaddeus was martyred in Persia by being beaten to death with a club. Simon the Zealot was martyred in Persia by being crucified. And Matthias was martyred in Georgia by being stoned and was beheaded. Just by seeing how disciples changed to give up their life for gospel showed that this resurrection of Christ was real, then they were not in the state of fear, but state of complete peace through knowing that this planned Christ resurrection will also bring their planned resurrection. And that's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:20, but Christ has indeed been raised from dead, the first fruits of those who have been fallen asleep. For since then, death came through a man. The resurrection of death comes along a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. And it's just not the story of disciples as apostles. There are so many accounts of these throughout the history of Christianity, especially after 64 AD, where the Emperor Nero started to persecute people for their faith. And you wouldn't believe some of the story. They would make Christians wear animal clothes so that the other animals would attack them. They would put oils all over them so that they would be burned easily. One account I read a while ago, they were in a Colosseum, and this mom and a little girl was supposed to be executed for faith in Christ by a starved animal. And in fear, this little girl says to her mom, I'm afraid. And her mom responded, it is okay. It will be all over soon. Martin Luther, on his invitation to die of worms, where he was supposed to be executed for his stance against the Roman Catholic Church, he says, I will reply to the emperor that if I am being invited simply to recant, I will not come. If to recant is all that is wanted, I can do that perfectly well right here. But if he is inviting to my death, then I will come. I hope none but the papists will stain their hand in my blood. Antichrist reigns. The Lord's will be done. We see so many of these accounts in the history of Christianity of people who believed in resurrection. That resurrection was a clear execution of meticulous plan of God from the beginning, realizes that there's nothing to fear. Everything is planned. And everything is going according to His plan and His will. There is no fear, but peace, a complete peace in the resurrection of Christ. And the question for us today is, how are we supposed to take the news of resurrection? And this is good news. But more than that, it's a news that overcomes our fear, a fear of death, and overcomes the failure of our plans. That is the true hope that would bring us peace to sacrifice our life to the Lord and for the Lord. It is well-known hymn. It says, cross was an emblem of suffering and shame. Now it is the emblem of God's redemptive plan, hope and peace. And to this morning, I really pray that may God strengthen us today through His resurrection. And let us believe through this resurrection that He has us covered for whatever that may come our way. That whatever may lift up His name and share the good news of gospel and resurrection to wherever we are. Let us pray.